الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم In the interactions that we have with the people of this world, many are essentially transactional. And what that means is that you give X and a person gives Y back in return. For example, you graduate from college and you apply for jobs. And after you apply for jobs, you get a job and the company says, We will pay you an annual salary of, I don't know, $97,000. So essentially, that's very transactional. That means that you will give X number of hours per week, and you will make a particular effort, and that effort will be such that in exchange for that effort, they will give you $97,000. So this is what I mean by transactional. And transactional exists in so many things in our lives. You go to the store, you decide you want to buy a cup of coffee, you pay them, I don't know, can you get coffee for $3? I don't know. Maybe, I've never had coffee once in my life. Coffee for what, how much is it, $8? $3? Depends on where you go. So you pay $3, $4, $5, and they give you a cup of coffee. So that's very transactional. They've decided that the value of the coffee plus whatever margin they want to have as a markup is essentially $5, and you've decided that the value of that coffee is $5. So you make an exchange. So this is an example, again, of something that's transactional. And pretty much our lives are just essentially full of transactional interactions. Every time you go to the store, you're making a transaction. Every time you get a paycheck, you've made a transaction. Many, many, many examples. You buy a house, you've essentially made a transaction. So these are the examples of things that are transactional. You give X and you get Y back. And X and Y are relatively equal in value, although they may be different, right? So money is different than coffee, but essentially $5 of money is what you valued this whatever one cup of coffee. Now, subhanAllah, there are some very rare opportunities where this whole transactional paradigm gets thrown out the window. By the way, interestingly, all of economics is based on this transactional stuff. Right? Economics, the whole theory of all this foundations of economics is all based on these transactions. You know, what's the demand? What's the supply? How much should the value be? Where is the inflection point? This, so much of economics is essentially transactional. I just put that on the side for a moment. Now, there are some opportunities. There are some opportunities where this whole transactional paradigm essentially is thrown out the window. And these are those opportunities where instead of trading X for Y, there's a characteristic that's given and a characteristic that's given in exchange, but the parties are absolutely not on par. The parties are absolutely not on par. For example, one example of a non-transactional opportunity where two things are not on par, but you can get it's all based on the characteristic, is the interaction that we can have with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So think about it. What happens is we give ourselves, right, to the Sunnah. We give ourselves to the Sunnah. And when we give ourselves to the Sunnah, we gain back the opportunity to be part of the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's no way that transaction can be gauged equally. Because who are we compared to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But we have the opportunity to become part of the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by submitting to his sunnah. Let's just take even a better example that just makes this more clear. Look at Sahaba and look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, Sahaba, you have to understand one thing. Sahaba's background was transactional. Sahaba were merchants, correct? They were buying and trading. Or they were working and they were receiving something in return. Their background was completely transactional. When the Prophet ﷺ came to the companions, he essentially offered, I mean, look at the deal that they were given, that you give yourselves to this deen, you make bay'ah with me, you become, you know, these initial individuals who are going to establish this deen, and in return, you're going to become part of the ummah. They became sahaba, they received a tremendous reward. That was other than transactional. It was an amazing opportunity for them because they gave themselves, now who are they in relation to the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But they gave themselves, and by giving themselves completely, right? Usually these types of other than transactional circumstances are when you give yourself completely and the other person in return gives themselves completely. But the balance is off such that your completeness is only a fraction of their completeness. You understand what I'm saying? So Sahaba gave themselves to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in turn gave himself to them. Right? Now look at the disparity here. Because they themselves, they're quote unquote limited, right? As opposed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they're getting all of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, this is the whole foundation of Medina. The whole foundation of Medina Sharif. You know, there was that one famous example, I'm going to misquote it, but it's just coming to the top of my head, so I'll just throw it out there. There's that one famous example where towards the end of the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they won a battle and they earned a tremendous amount of war booty. And essentially, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began to hand it out to people like it was just water. And Sahaba, particularly the Ansar, they felt a little bit left out. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard about this and he gathered them together. And when he gathered them together, he said to them that, isn't it sufficient, something to the extent that, isn't it sufficient that these people walk away with the, you know, whatever, the trinkets of this world, and you're going to take home the messenger of Allah? Everybody's heard that, you know, famous incident. Now, look at what's being said here. They're walking away with these trinkets. That's all transactional. You are walking away with the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And see, upon hearing that, they began to cry. Because they began to realize that it helped them to remember that they gave themselves, which was relatively small. And in exchange, they got such a big thing, right? That you can't even begin to weigh that in this paradigm of transactional. It's a completely different ballgame. So a person who wants to achieve success in something, they look for those opportunities where it's not transactional, where they can absolutely give themselves and the other person can give themselves back. And that's where the ultimate success lies. I'll just give you an example, another example, marriage. Now we're zooming the camera a little forward to today's time. Marriage. You know, if a person enters into marriage and they think it's transactional, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. There's never going to be happiness. If two people sit down and they tell me, you know, I sit down with two people and the brother says, can you tell me all the rights of the husband? And the wife says, can you tell me all the rights of the wife? That's not going anywhere. That's transactional. You give me A, I give you B. You give me C, I give you D. That's transactional. That's not the way marriage thrives. When marriage thrives, when one person says, I'm completely committed, the other person says, I'm completely committed, and it's in the context of that that both people move forward. So that's another example, albeit not as great. Now, why am I painting this whole, you know, scene? Because I want to just give you one example of an amazing opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Holy Quran. It's, you know, every ayah is obviously phenomenal, but this few words in the Holy Quran, they just go to show you the absolute opportunity that we have. And I don't think we appreciate this opportunity enough. Now, all of you, I'm sure, have heard this verse because it's recited often and it's very, very well known. But maybe we haven't spent the time reflecting on just what type of power is embedded in it. So you all know Surah Ar-Rahman. Everybody's very familiar with Surah Ar-Rahman. It's the one, you know, most common surah that people wait for in the Ramadan, Tarawih prayer, etc. And, you know, in there, there's the verse, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Sure, all of you have heard it. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Is the reward of excellence other than excellence? Okay, so that's, even the translation is very straightforward. You know, ihsan, let's take a step back. Ihsan is what? Ihsan is excellence. And everybody knows the context of ihsan. The greatest example of an understanding of what is ihsan was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel Jibreel alayhi salam to teach the ummah their deen, particularly the companions. You know the famous incident. Angel Jibreel came and he sat down in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked a series of questions. One of them, what was Islam? What is Islam? Another one, what is Iman? And the third, what is Ihsan? And the Prophet ﷺ explained that Ihsan, or excellence, is that you worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you cannot see Him, then knowing that He sees you. All right? So this is the best, sort of in a nutshell, definition of Ihsan. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, right, this very famous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ Is the reward of ihsan, or the reward of ihsan is none other than ihsan. And where does this arise in the surah? It arises in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the amazing bounties present in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in vivid detail, the amazing bounties of Jannah. And then in the context of that description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, is the reward of ihsan other than ihsan? Okay, now let's tease this out a little bit. The word ihsan comes twice. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Right? But although the word comes twice, the meaning is slightly different for each of the occurrences. Because the attribution of that ihsan varies depending on which time it's coming in the verse. So let's broaden this a little bit. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ Is the reward of your ihsan, إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Other than the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because that's really what Allah is saying. The reward of ihsan is none other than ihsan. Meaning, the reward of your ihsan is none other than the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just think about that for a moment and what's actually being said. That is absolutely mind-blowing. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that if we present our petty excellence to Allah, now what excellence can we ever provide, right? But if we provide our petty, incomplete, lacking excellence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will respond with His excellence back to us. And how can you compare the excellence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the absolutely worthless excellence that we have available to present to Him? You can't even begin to fathom. But look at the opportunity. Look at the opportunity that's being provided. If we make an effort towards excellence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us with His excellence. So what do you know, I mean, it's just, you can't even begin to put these pieces together. You can never make these two things, you can't even square here, you can't even square the corners, because there is no way you can compare our excellence to Allah's excellence. Essentially, what's being said is that you give yourselves completely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give Himself completely back. And we know the limits of what we have to offer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values the intention, and based on the intention, will reward us in a way that we can never even begin to fathom. This is the opportunity of deen. Now, just think about it for a second. Like, what do we even really have to offer? Think, we come with nothing. We come with nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a very short period of time. In that period of time, no matter how much effort we make, we're just writing in water. There's nothing we can do. You can build a big building. Somebody will tear it down in a couple hundred years. You can come up with some new knowledge. Somebody will overwrite it in a few years. You can, you know, achieve something that apparently seems grand. Nobody will remember it in a few years. Everything is against our favor in this life. There's nothing that we can do that is going to be lasting and beneficial for us in this world except to take the tiny bit that we've been given and completely submit it to Allah. Because if we completely submit it to Allah, we will have His excellence on the Day of Judgment and His excellence in the hereafter. Plus, the life of this world will be one of peace and happiness and joy and success. So, like, where is there even, how could you even compare? Like, no matter what you, let me make something close. Look, basically, let's think of this very simply. Here I am, I'm a person, I have limited resources. I barely have any time. I barely have any energy. I barely have any wealth. None of it is even fractionally relative, right? I mean, what is my time relative to the time of the entire universe? What is my wealth relative to the wealth that's present in the entire universe? Right? What is my ability relative to what's happening in the entire universe? It's not even, you know, it's zero. It's fractional. It's tiny. Now, I can take that fractional amount of energy, wealth, time that I have, and I can get transactional and try to exchange it. I can say, here's my 5 years and give me, you know, a $500,000. Here's my few dollars. Give me a cup of coffee. And yes, you know, there's some needs in there, so I have to exist in that world. But none of it is going to be of value. None of it is going to be of value. Every transaction that I make, I only get junk in return. Think about it. I mean, whatever we buy is junk. You buy a cup of coffee, you consume it, it becomes waste. You live in a house, you enjoy it, eventually people tear it down. You achieve something, and then somebody overwrites it, and nobody remembers your name. What is there to invest in this world except the necessities that are there in order for us to get through it? On the other hand, we can take this fractional time, we can take this fractional wealth, we can take this fractional ability, and just turn it back to the Lord who gave it to us to begin with. Just by submitting to Him and saying, "Ya Allah, my everything is yours. Here is me giving myself completely to you so that you give yourself back completely to me." Look at the opportunity there. Look at the opportunity. How can you compare this petty dunya, which essentially has nothing in it, compared to the opportunity of Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the only thing He seeks from us in order to be able to shower us with His infinite mercy and His infinite reward is for us to take the little fractional things that we've been given in this life, which is just all a big test to begin with, and turn it to our Lord with excellence, desiring Him, and He will give Himself completely to us. How is there a comparison here? Which person in their right sense can ever make that comparison? There's nothing in this life that we can achieve except to take those resources that Allah has given us and return them back to Him so that we can gain a permanent reward in the hereafter. No matter how you look at this dunya, nothing is achievable in this world. The only achievements are the achievements of the hereafter. So where do we want to invest? It's not even an investment. It's such a joke. It's such a joke because we don't even have anything to offer. It's really just the phenomena of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He gives us the opportunity to be able to take ourselves, to give some value to who we are, and to turn it back to Him so that it can be something that is rewarded in this world and the next. It's just completely mind-blowing. It's something that all of us really should reflect on. We've been given very little time. Of that time, we sleep X number of hours. We're babies X number of hours. We're old, you know, we become elderly X number of days. We're babies. We become elderly X number of days. In between is a handful of years. First of all, life is nothing anyway. It's just inconsequential in the span of time. But we're given just a tiny bit of productivity. Now we want to take that productivity and we want to chase the trinkets. You know, we're just chasing the trinkets of this world. No matter how people hype things up, everybody gets excited because you're driving a I don't know, a Lamborghini, it doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it real. It doesn't make it excellent. It's just one more toy. It's just one more toy. It doesn't matter how big your house is. It doesn't matter how nice your trips are. It doesn't matter what car we drive. It doesn't matter what clothing we wear. It doesn't matter how big my bank account is. It doesn't matter. You know, none of these things are going to matter because they're just trading one piece of worthlessness for another piece of relative worthlessness. But look at the opportunity. We can take our time and give it to Allah. We can take the little wealth that He gave us to begin with and give it back to Allah. We can take the energy and we can give it back to Allah. And in exchange, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give Himself back to us. That's an amazing opportunity. Now we should just reflect on that for a minute and think, like, where am I? Like, what am I pursuing? You know, it's the Quran even says it best, فَإِنَّ تَذْهَبُونَ, like, where are you going? Where are you going? Like, what direction? Like, wake up. Like, open your eyes to the reality of the direction in which we're headed. Like, where are we really going? What are we really achieving? What are we really pursuing? What is the reality of our existence? The opportunity doesn't lie in the dunya. There is no opportunity there. The opportunity lies to place ourselves in sujood to our Lord. The opportunity lies to submit ourselves to Allah. And that is the miracle of this deen. That we, with our limited abilities and our limited power and our limited might and our limited wealth and our limited control, can actually take this and make it of some value by just turning it back to the one who gave it to us to begin with. And then we fall under this rubric, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, that we did the best that we could. We did the best that we could to submit ourselves to Allah. So in exchange, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the best that He, you know, the best of His infinite treasure to the ones who exhibited that excellence. You can't compare that transaction compared to any other transaction in this life. And anyone who does so or who hypes up doing so is just completely lost in their own fake reality. There's nothing that's worth pursuing in this world except Allah and His Messenger and His deen and the opportunities that He provides for us. And look at what we're able to do in return. We're able to connect to the sunnah. We're able to be part of the ummah of Rasulullah SAW. We're able to become part of the broader community of every messenger that came before. It's not something new. It's something that has existed since the history of man. We're able to join that gathering of piety, of excellence, and in exchange, earn such an amazing reward. So we should open our eyes. We should think and understand. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing all of the bounties of Jannah and all of the opportunity that that exists before us, and then summates the whole thing in one sentence, just phenomenal, the power of the Qur'an to summate this. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ, is there... what is the reward of excellence? إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, except excellence. Essentially, look at this whole concept is just being summated in just one simple principle. Give ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give of His infinite treasure and mercy to us. We have an opportunity of giving so little and getting so much in return. And that's why, you know, you look at the dunya, it's that is a transactional engagement. We give the tiny bits that we have and we get back trinkets in return. Whereas we can give the tiny bits that we have and earn this crazy reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should open our eyes to the reality of this opportunity. Every single drop of sweat from our foreheads should be for the sake of Allah. Every single penny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us, it should be thought of as an opportunity to be able to trade one penny for so much more just by turning it back to Allah. All of our energy, our desires, our focus, our concern, our love, our care should be completely submitted to Allah. That is the only way that we're going to be successful in this world and the next. Anything else will just be an absolute source of sadness for us. That I had the opportunity to invest in the investment of a lifetime, and instead, I invested it in something that became absolutely worthless and itself never remained. Can't take any of it with us. I mean, every sign is around us. We can't take any of it with us. Even the one who doesn't believe in this opportunity that Allah has provided, you could still ask the question, what are they pursuing? They can't take any of it with them anyway. And none of them are actually happy when they get it for that few years that they have it in this world. It's just a life of misery. So this is our mantra. This is something that all of us should just burn into our minds. Hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al ihsan. Because it just so beautifully summates the opportunity that sits before us. We should seek excellence and ihsan in our deen. And we should sit in the company of people who are also seeking the same. And we should never allow the vicissitudes of life and the delusions of what happens around us to ever take us away from our goal of seeking to be as excellent as possible in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reward and the opportunity is just so great from every dimension. We are just low. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the opportunity to be part of this deen, to be part of the congregation of the prophets. Who are we relative to the prophets? The congregation of the prophets is available to us. And in addition, that's the benefit of this world. And the benefit of the hereafter is the excellent reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved for the people who seek excellence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who achieve excellence in our deen. May He grant us the sense to be able to appreciate the reality of the circumstance. And may He make us examples of those who will be rewarded with ihsan in the hereafter. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ